I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. Joining us by phone, we have Eric Winstrom. He is the chief of the Pensacola Police Department. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So one thing, we have a lot of stuff I want to get to. I want to start with this one. The news this week was that the charges have been dropped against Kanye Walker. He's the, I think, 16-year-old who had been alleged to have supplied the gun to Safford, who fired the first shots in that early morning July 5th incident down on Palafox. What happened here? Why were the charges dropped?
That's more of a question for the state's attorney's office.
Fair enough.
But I'll just say we're in constant communication with them, and we want to make sure everybody has a fair trial that's still pending charges. So there's only so much I can say about it, other than they did communicate with us. We worked through this, and I think we're all on the same page, and just part of the court process as more evidence comes out, as more testimony comes out. Occasionally there's changes, and in this case, I think we're all on the same page.
Okay, all right. But you had said, I think, that the case was closed, so this is not about, for his charges particularly, it's not likely to be reopened unless something dramatic happens at this point. Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You got it.
I do want to talk about this incident, because I think I get frustrated sometimes, I'll be honest. I get frustrated because when shootings happen and young men, get killed or get hurt, a lot of times the representation of those victims is somebody goes on TV crying about my little angel. And I understand if you've lost a kid or if you've, had a kid injured, I get the emotion. But I think sometimes we're not honest enough about, well, they were involved in a lot of stuff, and they weren't just random bystanders, although some, at least one, was. So in this case, as I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, we had one person, Safford, who got given a gun and then decided to open fire on the victim, but did not shoot him, missed. His friend then returned fire and accidentally shot the victim and killed him. Then the original shooter gave the gun to the woman who went away with it. That's obstruction after the fact. And then the man who shot his friend and killed him by accident was the one who you tried to serve a warrant on at Oakwood Terrace who took his own life. Do I have any of the facts wrong?
Nope.
Okay.
No. You have a solid understanding. And usually, especially when something happens at a place that's known for tourism and restaurants and stuff, people in the community, they get scared and they look at it as a, oh, it's so dangerous to go to downtown Pensacola. I've had the same thing in the last two cities I worked with. Some big incident happens downtown and people are fearful, like, oh, they're just randomly shooting people. But when you do look at the facts like that, you realize if you're not living this sort of what I would call a high-risk lifestyle, two groups of people came down and they all had guns and got into this. Obviously, they weren't there just to see the fireworks. They were there for other reasons, and they got into essentially a firefight. And so when you look at it that way, when you think, hey, if my, I'm a parent, if my kids aren't living that high-risk lifestyle, they're definitely in, much, much exponentially less danger of getting struck by a bullet in the city.
And that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. And, of course, all of this is pending a trial. All this is allegation at this point. I understand that. But what I particularly, and nobody deserved to die over any of this, but to imagine that this is sort of, one side of bad guys and one side of just pure innocent victims, like you said, they both brought guns to town. They both were there and engaged in a gunfight. This is not, as you say, people just going about their daily lives in low risk activities. This is people on both sides doing bad stuff, and it escalated to an incident that we all saw. Right? Am I wrong?
Yeah, No, you're right. And one of the frustrations from the police chief point of view is when something like this happens, a lot of people turn to me as the police chief and say, hey, what are the police doing about this? And I say, we're going to do the following. We're going to respond to crime. We're going to try to deter crime. We're going to investigate crime as we did this. We're going to get answers. But I want to know what everybody else is going to do to make sure that their kids aren't involved in a culture where they feel comfortable going downtown on July 4th not to see fireworks, but to walk around with a group of friends illegally possessing guns, willing to shoot other people for some sort of argument that, no one can even articulate.
Right. No, I agreed. And I think what I would love to see is some self-accountability from parents, from community members to say, yeah, they were doing bad stuff and I could have done more. I should have done more, instead of pretending like, you know, there's all kinds of innocence all around when the truth is there's lots of guilt going around before this incident.
Yeah. And if more people had that serious adult conversation, the safer the city would be.
Yeah, 100%. Other things that have been going on this week, Chief, you had a rescue of a man who fell in the water while fishing down at near Wahoos, right? Which is kind of a scary thing because that's a big wall. You cannot get back up from that, right?
That's right, and that's exactly what the problem that this gentleman encountered. Fortunately, a lot of people called right away. I wasn't there. I was listening on the radio. Police officers and firefighters responded, and then we had some boats that were getting ready, but I believe some thinking outside the box, I believe by the Pensacola Fire Department, they dropped a long ladder down and held on to it and were able to get him to safety. But he was clinging to, I believe, a chain that was dangling in the water, and very dangerous situation, but had a happy ending.
Yeah, and if you fall over fishing, I mean, I always think it's almost kind of amazing more people don't fall accidentally into the water, because I think of it even like riding my bike over to the Blue Angels show. I'm like, I'm kind of high up and that railing is kind of low. If my gears slip or something and I press the wrong way, I could go over. It's kind of amazing it doesn't happen more often. So thank goodness he was able to be rescued. You had a guy with a mental health episode, I think was the ultimate outcome at Cordova Mall. What took place?
Yeah, I rolled out for that. One of the things, I came from Garden Street, and I heard it. It was the call came out as an individual threatening to shoot up the mall and then ran from a mall security guard. The clothing description, I believe he had something that sounded like camouflage pants on and a brown shirt. He didn't appear to be a shopper. He appeared to be in the mall for other reasons, possibly a bulge in his pants. A very scary sounding call. By the time I got there, we had, I mean, there were detectives that I think were typing up cases upstairs in the police department that beat me to the scene. So the response was phenomenal from the police department. Had it been an active shooter incident and an actually armed person, very quick response. I watched the body-worn camera video yesterday. Officers got there. They located him. He ran. They were able to capture him. And he made these terroristic threats for whatever reason. And fortunately, we did a full search of the area where he, looked at the video, saw which direction did he come from, where did he go, where could he have left the gun. There was no gun. So as for, what the explanation is, I think probably mental health issues is the best explanation, but glad that no one was hurt, and best ending to that sort of call.
And, this was something that I had first heard about on social media, and somebody's like, did you see what's going on at Cordova Mall? And my first, let me go check with Mike Wood, and find out what's really going on. Yeah. But, what happens, I think a lot of times is, we have a perception, and I know Sheriff Simmons likes to talk about this too, that, crime is down. Like, the city is safer. The county is safer than it's ever been. But an incident captures attention, gets repeated 1,000 times. You emotionally live through it. And that becomes your picture of reality. And then in a case like this, where it's not even the thing that people at least initially think it is, our brains process it as scary event at Cordova Mall. Oh my God, second time in 2 or 3 weeks. What's going on at Cordova? Like that kind of reaction. It's easy to get into a fear-based mindset about public safety when, the way we react to things and share the information than what actually turns out to be true ultimately, right?
That's right. And then you look at the statistics and you realize how safe it is. And the same thing, when you have a fist fight downtown between two drunken, mutual combatants, and then I get called, Chief, downtown's out of control. What's going on? And then my question comes up, hey, when was the last time someone got mugged downtown?
Yeah.
I can't even remember. Months ago, maybe a year ago or so. Okay. Well, I've worked in places where people were getting carjacked multiple times a day downtown. So if you fight the battle of the anecdotes all the time, you're never going to win. But if you look at the numbers and say, this is a really safe city heading in that direction, and I'm glad one individual suffering a mental health crisis certainly can scare a lot of people, but all in all, hey, Cordova Mall is a pretty safe place.
Yeah, I used to do a feature on a different radio show. I called it Reverse News, which is whenever I thought a particular story was getting outsized, attention to it, like, Well, and today in reverse news, 54,862 Pensacola residents went to work and came home safely. You know, like that's
right.
Because that's the broad
right.
truth,
perspective
right?
Helps that,
and yeah, non-events right. aren't news is the sad thing, you know.
Yeah,
let's talk a little
true.
Bit. Let's talk about the proposed curfew. I know you've been working on that with the mayor. How close are we to a proposal? And, you know, the mayor's talked about some of the shape of this, but I always like to ask whether you are fully on board and think it'll help you in enforcement. Mike Wood said last week that it would, but you tell me, you're the chief.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Having the ability to spot that in the case of July 4th, that 11-year-old in the crowd who's not walking around without a parent, recognizing as a parent, as an adult, that this young person is in a more dangerous situation at 1 o'clock in the morning on July 5th, and being able to say, hey, we need to remove him to a safer place, that's a very valuable tool for the police department. And it could be a valuable tool for parents too, those parents that haven't quite gotten into the groove of being able to hold their kids accountable as much as they should. Maybe having this ability for them to say, hey, I don't want you to go downtown. Also, it's illegal. If that keeps a few kids out of harm's way, a few kids from leading more high-risk lifestyle, that's very helpful. So I think it's going to be a good tool. I think the draft is probably similar to what's on the in state law already, which they kind of make a suggestion for municipalities. If you want to put a curfew in place, this is where you should start. So I don't think it's going to be that controversial. It is going to be helpful, and we're not looking to lock up kids. We're just looking to make a safer community for our kids.
The mayor had made a comment that there was a slice of this that might deal with the parents, that after the warning and then the go to the station and call the police or call the parent and then the ticket and the enhanced ticket for offenders, that there's going to be a slice of this that's going to try to hold parents accountable. Do we know any more about that yet?
I think that's the way it's headed, and that's the language that I've seen from a lot of other jurisdictions around the country. It's not something that, hey, my kids, you know, I got a 14 and 12-year-old. It's not something that if my 14-year-old's out past curfew that I'm going to get arrested. It's something that after the warning, after a second warning, well, finally we're going to issue some sort of accountability measure, a civil citation or something. Because really, when it comes down to it, it is a parent's job to hold their kids accountable. And there's we don't always see that.
I love the mayor's comment that downtown Pensacola is not your babysitter. I thought that was
so true. That's what I felt like July 4th, July 5th. There were a couple times with 500 kids down there. And, you know, even with 50 cops, we just looked around like, this is the biggest babysitting gig in the history of Pensacola. That's what we were doing.
That's true. You have National Night Out is coming up. Next Thursday? Is that right? It's not today. It's right next Thursday.
It is not. It is August 4th, which I believe is Tuesday.
Oh,
actually.
Tuesday, August 4th. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay,
5
Tuesday.
5 p.m. down at Booker T. Washington High School in 6000 College Parkway. Down there, 5 p.m. We're gonna have police, fire, public works trucks, like a touch a truck event. Also, a canine demonstration. There's going to be a whole bunch of organizations out there, not only us, but I think our federal law enforcement partners, fire department, obviously, and others. So I'll be down there August 4th. Starts at 5 p.m. I think the canines are going on at probably 5:30 or 6. If you want to just go see them, they're always a big hit. But it'll be a great event.
See all the stuff. Sorry for saying Thursday. You're right. Tuesday, August the 4th at Booker T. Washington at the football fields. And then just the last thing real briefly, we just don't have enough time to get in. The license plate readers continues to be an issue. You know, you and I have talked about this, about the folks who are pushing against it, and are they sincere? Are they reasonable participants, or are they just recycling talking points? I was actually really encouraged that after your comments at the city council, in the next week, it was kind of a deferential, we appreciate Chief Winstrom's, but we seem to have now kind of fallen back on cherry-picking examples from the far-flung regions of the United States as reasons why we shouldn't have flock cameras or license plate readers here in Pensacola. But suffice it to say, you are still personally involved in the permissions. You are still adamant about protecting people's constitutional rights. License plates are not something that is private or require a search because it's in public on a road under the law. And the flock cameras are helping you solve crimes routinely. All of that true?
All of that's true. Yeah. The protections are in place. I get it. I care about, I have a sort of libertarian mindset, mm-hmm. and I care about all those things. And this isn't something that's as controversial as saying, you know, facial recognition that's out there and expanding exponentially, which we don't have any sort of active system like the entire country, the United Kingdom, I believe.
Yeah.
So not as controversial as it is, an exceptional tool. And it's always a balance of, I want to be able to tell the family that's a victim of a crime or missing a kid or a elderly Alzheimer's patient, saying we're going to do everything we can and we have the right tools to do it. And then making sure that we're protecting the rights of individuals, their privacy. And like you said, it's wound up in the news. And when it wound up in the news, it's usually when a police officer is getting arrested for abusing it.
Right. Because the process worked.
Holding people accountable. Yeah.
You know, and I'm always a little cautious about engaging in this kind of comment, but I will say it this way. My perception is that the people who are upset about the license plate readers, which are fully legal and do not require a Fourth Amendment search, because it's not a search, it's not private, are likely the first ones to whip out their cell phone to video something that they don't like, especially when they see a cop doing it. And I think, interesting.
Without a doubt. Yeah, it's a very strange political conversation because you have those on different spectrums.
But absolutely.
The DFA group, the socialists, they're just not sincere, unfortunately, in their thing, because coming from Chicago and living with a strong Polish community that fled from Soviet Poland.
Yeah.
The socialists love their police. You can't implement a socialist society without a strong, very strong police force willing to take your civil liberties. So it's very insincere. It's all politics. I know I'm used to that, but so it's tough to argue with unserious people because you're not having a real argument.
Yeah, no, I understand. Eric Winstrom, he's the Chief of Pensacola Police, as always. Chief, thank you so much for the time and what you do to make our community better and keep us safe. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.